We're in Daniel chapter 10. Daniel 10, and we're in the first 12 verses here of this chapter. And we're going to talk about fear today. I understand fear very, very well. You know, there's probably a couple of emotions that are pretty much standard go-to emotions, anger and fear. Someone said that they both come from hurt. And how you respond to things, anger or fear, depends on your family of origin. My family of origin, pretty much, it was fear for me all the time. I had two older sisters. They were twins, 5 years older. And Pete and Repeat, identical twins. And so, pretty much, they made my life miserable. And I understand all about fear. So it's something that I've struggled with all my life. My first reaction is, we're all going to die. There's no hope. Nothing's going to fix this. We're all in trouble. Oh, no. And what I've found is, over the years, God has helped me stand flat-footed when I need to and do what needs to be done. And I, you know, my kids will tell you, I hate conflict. I'll do anything I can to avoid conflict. And, you know, lately, last few years, maybe something happens when you turn 65, I don't know. Chuck Swindoll, whom you can listen to on the radio anytime, he said that he was too old to be afraid of people anymore. So I haven't gotten there. I'm still waiting for that. Maybe it's on the other side of 70. Who knows? But fear is something that, you know, I realize is it's just a part of my makeup. For 17 years, I was a chaplain with the police department, and would frequently find myself in situations where we were going into buildings or doing searches, and you know, it's good luck to have the chaplain along. And you know, I'd park myself behind the officer who had the gun drawn, and you know, I had a flashlight. But you know, what's wrong with this picture? Gun, flashlight, you know. Well, I guess it was a big flashlight. I could probably knock somebody out with it. But I found, you know, just that emotion of fear. And yesterday, I had a very interesting experience. I looked out where, you know, I told you I was sitting with my yard guy talking about the Lord. And I look over and I see my B stand is starting to lean, okay? And I look at it, and the rack that I've built, 18-inch high rack, it's going north. It's leaning. And it's got probably 300-400 pounds of honey on it, two massive hives, multiple boxes. So I jumped in the truck and I ran to Home Depot and I bought some blocks, cinder blocks, and you know, I'm going to jack it up and put it under the closet. I wasn't fast enough. And if you want to see a really cool picture, I took a picture, but it went over, and these boxes of bees just went crashing onto the flower bed, squashed down the sprinkler stand, rolled out into the yard. So I put my very best bee suit on. There's no such thing as a bee-proof suit. You know that. They're bee-resistant. So I knew I was going to get stung. I knew it. There's no way you can get out of this without getting stung. So I'm in my bee suit, and there's hundreds of thousands of irate bees. I mean, this isn't going into a hive when you have smoke and you take one frame out at a time. These guys are just irate. Two hives, bees commingled. I mean, and then the boxes are split open. They're upside down in the yard. And I'm in the midst of this thing, and I'm just literally covered with stinging bees. I only got stung three times, once from my glove, once in my elbow. Those are not muscles. That's not muscle. That's swelling. And then once here, all through my suit. But I'm in the middle of this thing thinking, this is absolutely terrifying. My gloves, they looked like porcupine quills. They had all these stingers out everywhere. And, you know, lifted up one box. One box weighs 85 pounds when it's full honey. I mean, these things are heavy. Put it on the 4x4s, rebuilt the things, and finally got them in, and then these bees are still very, very angry because they're not in the same spot. Somebody's messed with their hive. So anytime I would go out in the backyard, they would attack me. I went inside and probably killed another 20 bees inside that went with me on my suit. Couldn't get them out. So, fear. But you know what was really interesting to me? I'm standing in my den, looking out through the back door. And my neighbor across the alley, 2 8-foot fences, he's opened his gate and he's standing in the alley doing this, and I know what's happening. He's out there trying to swat the bees. Well, you know what happens when you swat a bee, don't you? 10 of his brothers, or sisters in this case, 10 of his sisters come and help out because you all got to stick together. So he's out there, and I thought, oh no, oh no. I was more afraid of what I knew I had to do than I was of the bees. So I went into my garage and I poured out 2 jars of honey, and I went in my truck and I went over there and I knocked on his front door and I said, I am so, so sorry. Those bees have been there for years. My stand collapsed and the hives fell over, and they're attacking anything that's alive. They're my bees. It's my fault. And his name is Tim. He's my age, a little bit younger. And he says, oh, it's all right. It's all right. That was my son, not me. His son is Marvin's age, It was my son. It's all right. And that makes sense, because I couldn't figure out why anybody with wisdom would be standing in the alley trying to fight bees. You just don't do that. He says, yeah, I saw him and I ran. It's the most exercise I've had all year. And he took the honey, and we became friends. And, I gave him 2, one for his son. But, it was really interesting to me that what I was afraid of was having to go over there and talk to the man and own up for a problem that was mine. But that's the right thing to do. The right thing to do is not hide in my house and hope nobody knows, Maybe those aren't my bees. check the wings. Maybe my logo's on the bottom. Nope, no logo, not my bees. No, but I owned up to it. But this issue of fear, it's pervasive. And the things that we're afraid of aren't the physical things, although that's certainly there, in touch with people who don't know about the underground church in Afghanistan. Whole churches are being executed. These bodies of believers, fledgling bodies of believers, are being eliminated, just like the Islamic religion did across North Africa with the Coptic church, eradicated the church. Not through conversion, not through persuasion. You're a Christian, you're dead. You got phone app Christianity, you're dead. It's happening right now. I don't know if I'm angry or fearful, take your pick. But this concept of fear with the virus, do you realize how insane this emotion is? The way it's, and is the virus real? Absolutely, it's real. What should we do? Well, I think prayer is a great start, but also realizing, okay, so I got the virus. Yep. Check that box. I didn't die. Woohoo! God rescued me from death. You get saved from death 2-3 times. Why? Because then you really know how to enjoy life. As a believer, we have a confidence that comes from God that goes beyond understanding of normal people. Because what's the worst thing that can happen to you? Well, that's not so bad, is it? Because you have Jesus. So I want to talk to you this morning about fear, and do so from Daniel. So turn there if you haven't already. In the first 4 verses, we're going to talk about Daniel's 4th vision. These pretty much roll out across the chapters. Chapter 7 is the first one he gets, the first year of Belteshazzar. Chapter 8 is the 3rd year of Belteshazzar. Chapter 9 is the 1st year of Darius. And chapter 10 is the 3rd year of Cyrus. I won't go into the historical background, but these are in chronological order. So in year 3 for Cyrus, king of Persia, the word had been revealed to Daniel. It's an interesting nuance. It's a completed sense, which often you do that in honor of Scripture. Even in the Greek, it's an aorist tense. Always, it has been written. It continues. Who had been called, that is his name, Belteshazzar. And the word is true. And the warfare, your text, if you look in the margin, actually translate this right in the margin, but in the King James, New King James, it's wrong. The warfare, it's the word that's used of army and divisions. And the warfare was great. He's telling you ahead of time what this vision is going to be about. And it is, it's all about warfare. And he understood or apprehended the word. And there was a condition of understanding to him in this supernatural vision, day two. In the days of them, these would be the 3 weeks of days, in the days of them, I, Daniel, I was mourning and grieving in myself these 3 weeks of days. We don't have time this morning to talk about the nature of prayer. We did that already in chapter 9. And verse 3, food or bread that's pleasant, so no donuts, no cake. I think we had 2 people bringing donuts. Thank you for doing that. Food or bread, pleasant stuff, I did not eat. And meat, no steaks. And wine did not come to my mouth. And I did not anoint. This would be like your olive oil, dry climate, anointing himself. It's not for cleanliness particularly. That wasn't high on their list. But for ease or comfort of the skin. I did not anoint myself until these 3 weeks of days would be completed. Now in day 24 of the lunar month, the first one, which would be April the 3rd, 536 BC, or Nisan 24, 4296. So the 24th day of the first month, I was on the side of the river, the great one, the Hiddekel, which is named for Genesis 2:14, also translated the Tigris River. There are 4 rivers given in Genesis. 2 of them are still in existence, the Euphrates and the Tigris rivers. So in the first 4 verses, we see that Daniel's getting another vision. This one goes over a period of 3 weeks, whether the 3 weeks of days he started in this third year praying, and then after a period of time, he receives a vision. But on the 21st day, or 24th day of the first month, this is when God gives him the information. So my guess, and that's all this is that Daniel wanted more information about the Daniel 9 vision of 70 weeks. And God likes Daniel. What can you say? You'll see that here in the next section. So in verses 4 through 6, you get this picture of the angels here. Let's look at verse 4. Verse 5. And I lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, a man, a single man, one man, wearing a linen, which would be a rough flax-based cloth, and his waist, interesting, waist is dual, so you see front and back in this vision, and his waist was having been girded in gold of Uphaz. Uphaz is an Arabian tribe south and east of Israel, also known by another name, Ophir, O-P-H-I-R, in Genesis 10, you'll see that. His body was gold-colored like topaz, and his face like the appearance of lightning. So bright, shining, looks like something out of the Marvel comics. And his eyes like torches of fire, and his arms, again, dual, and his legs like burnished bronze. So you get the dark and the light and the flame and the fire, this polished bronze, burnished, polished bronze. and the voice or the sound of his words like the sound or the voice of a multitude. So overpowering in his words. My application here, God sends his angels. Why should you not fear? God sends his angels. These angels are incredible, awesome spirit beings. And I'm thankful we don't see them. If we did, we'd have problems. You'll see that, how Daniel responds to this. But if you turn with me to Hebrews chapter 1, I had thought the whole first chapter would be valuable because it shows the superiority of our Savior Jesus and why we do not worship angels, but rather the angels worship him. Because he, you are my son, today I have begotten you, from Psalm 2. It's the not to the angels that he gives the position of the son. Verse 13, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstools. And then verse 14, do you see that? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister to those who will inherit salvation? Two comments about verse 14. The will is a Greek word, mellow. That means they're fixing to. That's a good Texas expression. I'm fixing to do it. I'm getting ready to. It's about to happen. What's about to happen? The inheritance of salvation. Boys and girls, extra points. When you see the word inheritance, you should think what? Rewards. Rewards. Well, it says rewards of salvation. Right. It's future salvation, namely the deliverance that comes in the millennial kingdom. You can see that in verse 3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, this coming world of deliverance? It's a part of the gospel message that Jesus Christ died for our sins, arose from the dead. Believe in him, you receive everlasting life. Walk by the power of the Spirit, and you will inherit the coming kingdom. That's why he says in verse 5, For he has not put the world to come, of which we speak, in subjection to angels. My point here is that these angels are sent to be ministering spirits to you. I'm so glad we don't see them. They're terrifying beings. Recently, I'm sure I would have saw one if I'd have looked in my rearview mirror instead of my side mirror. I was driving down an abandoned road, 109 towards Frogville in Oklahoma, in my ancient four-wheel drive 4Runner, and all of a sudden I hear, and I look out the side mirror, and my wheel on my left rear wheel is doing this. So I pull over right away and get out and look at it. And my wheel came off. I'd gotten new tires. Guess what they forgot to do? Tighten the lug nuts. So I lost all six lug nuts on it, and the tire came off, and the drum came off. And the wheel is it drops down because of the slope of the road. And the studs that the nuts go on, it's caught on the drum that's still in the tire. And so it bent all the studs, but it's not bad. You put the lug and hammer it back out, put it all back together. But I'm sure it was because there was an angel running behind the car, holding that thing up to keep it from wheeling off someplace. He sends his angels to take care of you. Oh, by the way, he doesn't recycle them. He created an infinite number of these. There's been an angel waiting for your birth. And here you are, and he's studying you to see how you, a daughter of Eve, a son of Adam, will find truth from the son whom the angel worships. Let's look here now, these amazing angels in verse 7. And I saw, I saw the supernatural vision. The men who were with me, Daniel's an elderly statesman high up in this Persian, Medo-Persian Empire. Remember Darius pitching him into the lion's den? Oh, Daniel, your God, is he able? Yeah, I didn't do anything wrong. And he exalted him. Okay, Daniel's high up. He doesn't go anywhere without an armed guard. He's got a garrison of men with him. What good are they now? The answer is nothing. I saw the supernatural. The men who were with me, they did not see the supernatural vision. However, a great terror, trembling, shaking, fell over them, and they were fleeing so that they would have been hidden. They didn't know what was going on, but they weren't staying. Daniel, you are on your own. And I, emphatic, I had been left for me all by myself alone. And I saw the supernatural vision, the great one, this wonderful, incredible, great vision. And strength had not been left in me. And my splendor, interesting term for a guy in his 80s, you know, he's a great elderly statesman, confident in the Lord. But here, my splendor, my strength had been turned over me to paleness, and I did not retain any strength. Verse 9, I was hearing the voice and the sound of his words. While there was hearing for me of this sound, this voice of his words, I was having been put into a deep sleep on my face and my face on the ground. So Daniel here with this amazing, amazing angel, he sees the vision, he's put into deep sleep. He's flat on the ground, face plant. There he lies. In verses 9 through 11, or 10 through 11, let's watch and look and see what the angel does here, would you? Verse 10. And behold, a hand touched me, and it caused me to tremble on my knees. So he does this face plant. All right, and now the angel reaches down and touches him, and he gets up on his knees, dual, and the palms of my hands, and he's trembling in that position, overwhelmed with what has transpired, what he's seen. And he said to me, this is the angel, he said to me, Daniel, a man of delightedness. It's plural. It's untranslatable. When God thinks about Daniel, it's a delightful experience on multiple levels and multiple occasions. Noah and Daniel and Job are three men that have this statement about God concerning them. Daniel, a man of delightedness, have skill, it's an imperative, have skill to understand the words which I am speaking to you. Now another imperative, stand on your place. So get up and stay in your lane. You've got a job to do, and your job is to stand up, and I'm going to give you understanding. Because now I had been sent away to you, And in his speaking with me, the word, this one, I stood and I was having great distress. Daniel gets up as the angel instructs, and he's standing in place, staying in his lane, doing what he's supposed to do, but he's still terrified. He's still great alarm, great fear, still shaking at what he's experiencing. Verse 12, and he said to me, do not fear. Daniel, stop it. Get over it. Stop being afraid. Because from the day the first one, when you gave your heart to have skill and understanding, this is 3 weeks before, and to humble yourself before the face of your God, they had been heard your words. 3 weeks ago, God heard your words, and I have come because of your words. It took them 3 weeks to get there, and his message is real clear. Don't be afraid. And this is God's word to you. Look up here. Stop being afraid. You have God the Father. You have Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God. And you have the holy angels of God who are surrounding you and protecting you because you are an heir of salvation. God is right now enlisting people to be field lieutenants in the kingdom that's coming. But he wants men and women, boys and girls, of courage and faith, of power, of love, and of a sound mind able to weigh things out and make good decisions. That's what he's looking for. So stay in your lane, no matter how afraid you are. Stand up and stop being afraid. Our Father, we pray that you would help us to put away our